Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after an 8-1 disappointing loss post-trade deadline. Rangers pretty lifeless in this one. Four-hit evening. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about all the dust that has now settled from the trade deadline, where the Rangers are at now that the trade deadline's officially passed. We're going to get through all the highlights of the game. There weren't a ton for the Rangers, just throwing that out there right now. But there are a number of things I think that we can discuss moving forward here. The positive, Astros are losing right now. That's what I always go to, just so y'all know. I know some of you that have been with me for a while. You know the drill. Rangers lose, check scoreboard. Astros are down, I believe, 6-2 right now in the bottom of the ninth inning in Houston, losing to the Pirates. Mariners did beat the Red Sox today, so does look like the Mariners are going to be taking full control over the AL West at this point. We'll see what happens. Rangers have an opportunity tomorrow to still win the series in St. Louis. I think that's what you've got to hold on to at this point. And remember, it's about the long perspective here. Game to game, it's going to be hard. Rangers are going to drop games the rest of the way. You can't go 54-0 or however many games are left. But I will say, and we're going to get into this in just a second, I will say this. After a trade deadline and where you really decided to only focus on pitching, then you go out and score one run, not super ideal. Optics aren't great. But more on that in a little bit. Of course, y'all here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. A lot of Texas Rangers content out there. Appreciate y'all hanging out with me, whether you're live, whether you're on the replay. I appreciate you. And if you're not following, not subscribed to the channel at this point, please do so. I'd greatly appreciate it. Stay up to date every time we go live. Keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. Thank you all for joining in today. A little bit of a bummer loss. I'm not going to lie to you. I really felt after that win yesterday, you're going into the trade deadline. There was kind of some hope that the Rangers might add a bat, might add somebody that can give the lineup a little bit of pop. Josh Jung was coming back today. I think there was a lot to be excited about coming into this game. And so, of course, it's a dud. Of course. I mean, you get your hopes up. It's how it goes sometimes with the Rangers. Y'all longtime Rangers fans, I know you can relate to this. You get your hopes up. Josh Jung coming back. What bat are we adding at the deadline? And then you score one run. Max Scherzer gets hit around a little bit. Cody Bradford makes his return, gets a grand slam hit off him. I mean, just wasn't the Rangers' night tonight. The good news again, Astros losing tonight. You have an opportunity to win the series tomorrow, day game tomorrow, going into the off day on Thursday, and then a very big homestand against the Red Sox and the Astros, fast approaching. As I told y'all a couple nights ago, or maybe it was last night, probably the best homestand just in terms of overall experience, I think. Teams playing, the brand name, the competition, the point in the season that all these teams are at. I think it's going to be some great baseball. Hopefully a lot of Rangers wins, but this homestand coming up with the Red Sox and Astros is going to be huge. Hopefully you can make it down there. If you live in the DFW area, I would love to go to one of the games. Red Sox going to be in town this weekend. Astros in town early next week. This is going to be a big week stretch here for the Rangers. I really feel like not trying to put too much pressure on them, but hopefully the Rangers get a win tomorrow, and then you've got some big games coming up. Red Sox are the wild card competition at this point. I know the Rangers have a better chance at making the division title than making that third wild card spot, but it is what it is. The Red Sox are the wild card competition. If you were to win three games against the Sox, you would probably be right back in that discussion, which would only benefit the Rangers. I do hope they're able to crawl back in to the wild card race. I can't say it's super likely, but it's always nice when you've got options. You've got the division, you've got the wild card, just like last year, really, right? Rangers didn't win the division. The tiebreaker favored the Astros, and the Rangers still made it in with the wild card. Anytime you have that wild card option, it's nice. So these games against the Red Sox, big because you're playing a good team, but also because you're playing a team that's ahead of you in the wild card standings. And it's an opportunity for you to have multiple avenues to make the postseason if you're beating these wild card teams. The Rangers took care of business against Tampa Bay. who is ahead of the Rangers right now in the wild card race. You take care of the Red Sox, you gain a few games. Now it gets even more interesting, and you're not just watching Astros Mariners scores after every single game. So all is not lost. It's a bad night tonight. The timing, just not great. I just don't think right after the trade deadline, you decide not to go out and get a bat. And really, I think it came down to money. I think that there were some guys out there. The Rangers had guys that they could trade for a controllable bat, but I really just think it came down to money. The Rangers did not want to eat any salary from any other teams. That's really what I feel it came down to today at the trade deadline. The Rangers had plenty of guys that they could have traded to get a quality bat. Didn't have to be a big name. Michael Conforto, the Giants. They were linked to a couple of other guys as well. Yastrzemski from the Giants as well. They were linked to Bowers in Milwaukee. He hit a grand slam off of us a few weeks ago. I mean, the Rangers were linked to a few different bats, but they really did not want to take on any more salary. Well, it frustrates me as a fan because, look, when you're talking about billionaire owners and $5 or $6 million being taken on in salary, it doesn't feel great. But look, I know it's a business. I know that these owners want to make money off the team. I totally get it. But it is frustrating that you weren't even willing to take on, like, Michael Conforto, for example. That would have been $6 million in salary taken on. I mean, I really don't understand it. Some of those moves seem like no-brainers to me. And guys like Zeke Duran, who we talked about last night, I really don't know what their place is going to be on the team consistently. Why not trade them and get somebody that is going to get consistent at bats? I just don't get it. And for me, I really didn't want to roll with Leody the entire rest of the season. Leody is a guy that you want to platoon, a guy that gets hot, but a guy that also gets very, very cold. And right now he is in one of those really, really cold streaks. So I was hoping that we'd be able to roll with a different outfielder. Of course, the news coming down, CY confirming it today. Don't know if y'all caught it. And by the way, I'm going to check in on comments here in just a little bit. Appreciate y'all. This was a day where CY did confirm that Evan Carter is going to be out for basically the remainder of the season. And it was something that I had suspected. I know that there were some positive hopes out there that he'd be able to come back in August or September. You know, some not to worries. Guys, it's back issues. It's just not good. And Evan Carter's a 21-year-old who's had now multiple back issues. I think he's going to be back for next year. I'm not saying that, you know, this is going to be something he deals with forever and ever. I mean, look, if he did, I'm not trying to put the negative vibes out there, but it wouldn't shock me if this has to be something that he monitors and has to kind of deal with his entire career. I hope that they can get the back completely right. But 21 with multiple back issues, that's just not good. So Evan Carter out for the season, basically. You would have thought the obvious move would have probably have been to go out and get a controllable outfielder, bat, lefty, righty, whatever the case may have been. But I just don't think this Rangers team and the ownership wanted to take on salary. And I think that was a big part of it. I think CY, with the reins off of the money, would probably be making different deals. I know a lot of people blame CY. I don't really think CY is the person to blame. I think the reason why we didn't go after certain guys in free agency was ownership not wanting to spend money. Bally deal uncertain, right? And still kind of uncertain. I don't really understand the people that crush CY. I don't know. If some of y'all are, you know, CY haters out there, you're going to have to bear with me on this one. I don't understand the people that crush CY. He's not a perfect GM, but he's working with an ownership that doesn't want to spend a lot of money right now. They did spend a lot of money. They went out and got Corey Seager. They went out and got Marcus Semien. They've signed some big-name pitchers. They went out and got Jacob deGrom, paying him a lot of money. I get it. But I will say this. You're fresh off a World Series championship. You know that the Rangers, financially, from winning the World Series, got a huge bump. I really would love to see the numbers on it, but anytime a team goes that deep into the playoffs and wins it all, you get a bump in terms of your pocketbook if you are an owner. So I don't really understand the hesitancy to even spend $6 million trying to get a Michael Conforto from the Giants. That would have been an upgrade to me over Leody in terms of the bat. But we are where we are. The bullpen was upgraded, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let me go ahead and get my comments checked here. Aaron, what's up, my guy? If you're still out there, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Just bad timing for this one. I mean, look, it's the Rangers are going to lose games. We're not going to have them go 54-0. That would be freaking awesome, but it's not going to happen. It's just bad timing coming off a deadline where you decided not to buy any bats and you only score one run. I mean, I know Carson Kelly is technically a bat that they bought, but I don't think Kelly is going to be a staple in the Rangers lineup. I'd be really surprised. So coming off the deadline where you don't go out and get anybody to help this offense, and then they go out and put up one measly run on a Wyatt Langford solo shot, it's just, the optics aren't great. I mean, the reality is it's one little game, one little splash in the pond, but it's just not great. Somebody on TikTok, Colin, what's up, my guy, by the way, says Rangers maybe made $35 million for winning it all. Look, I don't know if you can really quantify how much money you make off of a World Series. In my opinion, it goes well beyond 2023. You got to consider 2024. The Rangers are on more national broadcasts. The Rangers are talked about more. They get more exposure. Merchandise, right? You make a ton in merchandise because you know every single Rangers fan out there bought a bunch of World Series gear. I know I did. I mean, you don't know when this is going to happen again. So for me, I think it's probably a little bit more than $35 million. We might have to agree to disagree there. $35 million seems really low for how much ownership profited off winning a World Series. I don't know. Would love to see the official numbers. Don't know if you're ever going to truly be able to get them, but nonetheless. What article was that from, Colin, by the way? If you can let me know. I'm not dogging on you, by the way, but I hope you don't think that. But it just seems so... so, like, low to me. Somebody else on TikTok says Carter being out for the season does what now? I don't think it does a whole lot because Evan Carter wasn't contributing offensively before he got injured. I mean, look, we're all dwelling on the Evan Carter from the playoffs last year, from September last year. We haven't seen that Evan Carter yet this year. I mean, maybe in little glimpses, right? But I don't think the Evan Carter injury really is going to be a huge impact on this team this year. You never really knew what you were getting with Evan Carter anyways when he was going to come back from his injury. Was he going to be the guy that helped lead us to our first World Series championship, or was he going to be the guy that was hitting under 200 most of the season? So for me, the Evan Carter move, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him mainly because that sucks as a 21-year-old up-and-coming number one prospect. And you're dealing with back injuries, I mean, back issues, and that's terrible. But in terms of the Rangers this year, I can't say I feel like the Evan Carter injury just dooms the season or anything like that. So I would say, look, Evan Carter injury sucks, but it is what it is. Appreciate the follow, by the way. Thank you so much. We'll see. Evan Carter, I hope he's ready for 2025. I think that's got to be the goal. Let me keep going here, checking other socials. I'll come back to TikTok as well. I really do think, though, I'm seeing somebody on TikTok asking about this. Should they have gone after more hitting power? I think so. Natalie says, do you think it will take a little time for the offense to click, or is there a chance that doesn't happen? I couldn't actually watch. Not mad at Cody. He hasn't pitched at the big league level. Cody Bradford, she's talking about. So I think that the offense definitely can still click. I think this was a bad game. Lance Lynn, I mean, righty, fastball pitcher, kind of a recipe for not disaster, but just a tough night. The Rangers have been struggling against righties of late. We talked about this. They were terrible against lefties earlier in the season. Now they have collectively, I think over the past like month or month and a half, their OPS as a team against righties is like under 700. Like, it's not great. I have no idea what's going on with the team, but fastballs have been a problem all year. They've been a little bit better hitting the fastball of late, but now you're having trouble hitting righties. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, when it rains, it pours. That's really kind of how I feel. I mean, the Rangers are getting some guys back at this point, but tonight was a when it rains, it pours kind of night. The pitching wasn't great. The batting wasn't great. Cody Bradford comes back, gets shelled. Max Scherzer gets shelled, has some arm fatigue. I don't know if y'all saw that, but I just got a report actually. Saw a little notey on my phone. It looks like arm fatigue. They haven't talked to Scherzer yet. Rangers media hasn't. But that is what they're reporting. Bruce Bochy said Max Scherzer dealing with some arm fatigue. So I think this is kind of what you're going to get with Scherz the rest of the season. Like, I just don't think Scherzer is going to be a guy we can really, really count on to go super deep into games. I think occasionally he's going to give you a 6-7 inning outing, but just with what he's been dealing with, and he did just turn 40, I just don't know if Scherz is going to be a workhorse for us down the stretch. It's going to have to be DeGrom, Evo. And look, I say DeGrom, I don't know if how they're going to play DeGrom this year. A part of me thinks they're probably going to take it really easy with DeGrom and not really push him too much. Maybe they'll take off the reins as September approaches, late September. If we make it to October, maybe they will, but I see them being pretty careful with DeGrom. I do think the offense can find its stride. Josh Jung did get a base hit tonight. I think that they're going to probably toy around with the lineup a little bit. I don't think Josh Jung is going to be hitting seventh the rest of the season. So I really think that the Rangers lineup can come around. They've got too much talent to not. I think that they can. I don't have, and you can't really point to. You wish you could, but there's nothing objective to point to. It's just my gut feeling, take it or leave it. But I do feel like the Rangers can still turn it around. Hopefully Josh Jung provides a big spark. And then hopefully some of these guys that have been really streaky in a bad way can find at least a little consistency, even with like getting on base one time a game. Like, that's the thing that I say, like Leody, he'll either hit 300 or 100 over a 2-week stretch. Like, could we just get 250 from Leody every day? Could Leody just go 1-for-4 every single day? Jonah Heim, could we just go 1-for-4 every day? I would take that over these hills and valleys that we get with some of these guys. Cody Bradford, though, to talk about the second part of the comment here. Yeah, I mean, that's just a tough spot. Cody Bradford, you're in a losing game. That's always, I think, difficult mentally. You come in as a pitcher and it's a 3-4 run deficit. You really have to lock in. And some guys, it's harder than others for them to do. But Cody Bradford, first major league action since the beginning of the year. I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack as well. Let me keep on going here. Gio, what's up, my guy? Eighth and ninth hitters had no hits again. Tavares should stop playing every day. Go Rangers. This is why, I mean, Gio brings up a really good point, which I see on TikTok, a couple people asking, like, who could they have gone after? Who could the Rangers have gone after? So I think that Leody is definitely the reason you needed to go out and get a bat. Leody, for me, is not consistent enough. The defense is decent out there, pretty good, but he's not consistent enough at the plate, and I think you could have upgraded that position that Leody is pretty much taken over now. I know you're going to get maybe some Robbie Grossman games when there's a lefty on the mound and Leody will ride the bench. But look, it's a righty league. A lot of right-handed starters. I mean, look, you're not going to be facing as many lefties as righties, which means you're going to be seeing more of Leody more often than not. So I would have liked to have seen them go after. And look, I don't know what the asking prices were. So that is one thing I need y'all to take into account, because I'm going to throw out some names, not really understanding what they would have wanted from us, like what prospects, what package. I'm sure CY made some phone calls, but for example, I would have liked to have seen us go after Luis Robert. Luis Robert has some pop. He has speed. He does strike out a little bit too much, but I love the intangibles for Robert. He was controllable. I don't know who they would have wanted, but the White Sox made some pretty bad deals. I feel like the Fetty deal, the Fetty Fam deal that they just did, I feel like they got raked over the coals. I feel like the White Sox definitely could have been had in a trade if we wanted to pull the trigger on Robert. Now, I don't know if Robert was available, but I would have loved to have seen us go after Luis Robert from the White Sox. Some of those guys that I mentioned earlier were more guys that I know Evan Grant, Dallas Morning News, Rangers writer, had said guys, outfielders that were going to be very cost effective, like weren't going to cost the Rangers a lot in salary. So Evan Grant mentioned Yastrzemski, Mike Yastrzemski from the Giants, who played for Bruce Bochy back in 2019 when Boch coached the Giants last. There was also Jake Bowers, who plays for Milwaukee. I think I mentioned he had a grand slam, I think off of Evo, when we played Milwaukee in June. So Bowers maybe was going to be a target. And then Yandy Diaz was always kind of a name that was thrown out there. I think Yandy would have been great. I think Yandy would have been a solid addition, probably a guy that you DH. But I know people are saying, well, what about Josh Smith if you DH Yandy? I think we would have probably swallowed the pill of Josh Smith playing outfield. I mean, look, wouldn't you guys? I mean, drop it in the comments if you hate the Josh Smith outfield idea, but I'd rather see Josh Smith playing left field and Wyatt Langford in center and have a guy like Yandy Diaz DHing versus having Leody in the lineup every day or against every single righty. Wouldn't y'all take that? I don't know. Look, Josh Smith, he hadn't played a lot of outfield, but I think I would have taken Josh Smith in left field. I mean, just to have a guy like Yandy Diaz in the lineup to give the Rangers a little bit of a boost, I think that would have been phenomenal. Let me keep going here with comments. What's up, y'all, by the way? Baseball Network, what's up? It says, people need to stop calling the team terrible just because they lost one game and calling CY bad. I'm not trying to go off on anybody because losing sucks. And guys, you know, I've been super consistent, rain or shine, win or loss, getting on. There's been a few games I haven't done because of travel and stuff like that. It hasn't been many. It's not easy to get on here and do lives because, look, like y'all, I love the Texas Rangers. Loved them for decades. And I take these losses personally, just like every diehard does. But I try and take a minute, keep a perspective. And I would say, just to answer point by point here, you're going to lose games. That's what I always tell myself. Like, you're not going to go 162-0. As sick as that would be, you're not going to go 162-0. You're going to drop games, and all you need to do is win 2 out of 3. And the Rangers may do that tomorrow. They may not. But we need to start looking at this Rangers team on a week-by-week basis, right? So Gio brought up, who I flashed up in the comments already. You know, the Rangers were, 6-3 over their last 9 games? I mean, 6-3 over your last 9. I think they're 6-4 now over their last 10. I mean, that is the kind of clip that will ultimately get you to the promised land, the playoffs. You're going 60% wins, 65% wins. That's getting you where you want to be. So you're not going to win every game. I mean, winning 6 out of 10 games is going to play in the major league. So I think everybody that's just dogging this team right now, they should have sold. I'm seeing a ton of that, right? They should have sold. What are they doing? What is CY doing? They should have sold. This team's terrible. The offense sucks. Like, I see all that stuff, and I'm just like, look, they put up a bunch of runs yesterday. They scored 6 runs. Nate Lowe was hitting a homer. Everybody was loving it. I'm not a big fan of the roller coaster emotions, getting on and going scorched earth after every loss. Like, come on now. Anybody that's played the game of baseball knows you're going to fail more than you succeed, right? You fail 7 out of 10 times in baseball up at the plate, you're a great hitter. You're an elite hitter at this point with the way the game's going. So I say CY, by the way, this is my theory. I do think it's a little bit more than a theory. I think it has been documented by some media people that have dug into it, done the interviews and the legwork. I do think CY is a little bit hamstrung by the owners. So the people saying, what is CY doing? What's his strategy? He very well may want to go out and get a bat. But you know what? He's got to clear any kind of salary add-on with ownership, with the guys that are writing the checks. So if they want to add on an outfielder that is going to cost them $10 million more in salary for the season, they've got to clear that with ownership. So the people that are just putting this on CY, like he had a terrible deadline, I really don't get it. I think it's very ignorant. The dude doesn't have control of all the money. The owners write the checks, and the owners, I don't think, want to spend money. They spent a bunch of money on Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Jacob DeGrom, and there's a few other guys that have some nice contracts in there. I think Evo is going to be making $20 million next year if he opts in. I mean, $20 million a year, that is some decent money. Absolutely. So there's some guys making some good money. I'm not going to hate on the owners. If I was them, I would probably want to maximize this little run that the Rangers are on, try and get a repeat. Hasn't been done since, 2000 when the Yankees did it? I'd be trying to maximize the window, especially if I'm a billionaire, multi-billionaire, like the Rangers ownership is. I mean, seriously. But it's not my money. And CY, it's not his money either. Let me keep going here. I do think when we're a healthy team, and I mean fully healthy, DeGrom, Malley. Bradford's back. Young is back, fully healthy. I do think we're going to be a scary team. Evan Carter, like I was saying earlier, I don't know if Evan Carter really would have made a big splash or not on this team. The plan, actually, I don't know if y'all read this, but the plan, according to what I read with Evan Carter, was he was going to be a platoon guy when he came back. He was not going to be an everyday guy. So that's why even more I say I don't think or feel like the Evan Carter move, or bad news, I guess, is the best way to put it. I don't think the Evan Carter bad news is that bad of news for the Rangers prospects this year. Feel terrible for him, but I don't think that it really ruins the Rangers' chances of repeating this year, making the playoffs, or whatever goal, right, that you want them to have at the end of the season. Let me keep going here. What's up? Thanks for the comment. Appreciate you. Brad says Scherzer is not the same. Rangers shouldn't count on him in the future, I'm assuming. I don't think that the Rangers are going to be able to count on Max Scherzer to be the guy that they traded for last year in the summertime. That was a big splash. I don't think Max Scherzer is probably ever going to be completely the same guy that he was before he signed the New York contract. I know he pitched with the Dodgers a little bit in there. The guy that won the World Series for the Nationals. I don't think Max Scherzer is going to be that guy again. And that sucks. That's sad. The Rangers are not going to re-sign Max Scherzer. There's no reason to. I mean, we all love Mad Max. He's an ultimate competitor. From what I hear, a great clubhouse guy, but Max Scherzer is not somebody that you can count on to be a workhorse at this point. Right now, he is our number two. Evo's number one. He's our number two. When DeGrom is fully healthy with the reins completely taken off, Max Scherzer becomes the number three guy. We'll see how Tyler Malley's throwing the baseball in the major leagues. It's one thing to do these rehabs like Cody Bradford, like you just saw with him. It's a different thing when you come up to the majors and now you got to face major league pitching. Cody Bradford have been doing great in the minors. Scoreless innings left and right. You come up to the majors, you get shelled. It's a different level. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think Max Scherzer is going to ever be that dominant guy consistently again. I do think he will be that guy in spurts, but I don't think you're consistently going to be able to count on Max start after start to give you 6-7, 2 earned runs, 1 earned run. I think that that's probably a little bit unrealistic for the expectations. Next question says, what do you think will happen with Bally Sports? And if we lose Bally, who do you think will pick us up? I'm just going to be transparent. I'm not super invested into that, but I will say this. From what I remember, Amazon, I think, was pretty big in saving some teams from their TV issues that they were having. So I had heard Amazon, I think there's a couple other companies, MLB, I think, was trying to do some centralizing. I just hope that they can figure out a way to eliminate the blackouts from the game. You should be able to pay $150, $40, whatever it is. I don't even want to go off on the blackout rant because I could be here for a while. But MLB just needs to figure out a way to stop blacking out games. And so I hope that whatever they end up doing, figure out a way to eliminate blackouts from the game. If a fan pays $140 for MLB TV, they should have access to every single game, no matter what. Right now, I've told y'all, in Vegas where I live, there are 6 different teams that claim Las Vegas as a territory. It is ridiculous. Padres, Angels, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Giants, A's, all of those teams claim Las Vegas. Anytime the Rangers play any of those teams, I'm blacked out on MLB TV. It sucks. So whatever they do, Bally, no Bally, can we figure out a way to get rid of blackouts once and for all? I mean, seriously, it gets old trying to find a stream to watch some of these Rangers games, y'all. It does. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for no more blackouts. If MLB does centralize it and does all the broadcasts or figures that out, that should be their number one priority. If games are blacked out, you're not growing the game. I see something's blacked out. I got to figure out something else to do. You're not growing the game, blacking things out. So figure that out. I really hope they do. Let me keep going here. Let me keep going, y'all. So I'm going to pull up box score and kind of try and sift through. There's not much for us to go through. Simeon, Seager, Smith go a collective 0 for 12. Wyatt Langford, only RBI of the game with a solo shot in the second inning. It was good to see Wyatt hitting that homer. Doley, Lowe, and Young all collect one hit. Nate Lowe, 1 for 3 with the walk. Nate Lowe continues his sizzling summer, man. That dude is on fire. I love what I'm seeing from Nate Lowe. He goes 1-for-3 with a walk, on base twice. Jonah Heim 0-for-3. Leody 0-for-2. Jankowski came in, drove one to the outfield, but was caught. So look, the bottom of the order, 8-9 hitters, 0-for-6 on the evening. 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. You only had two opportunities with runners in scoring position and five left on base. That tells you all you need to know. I mean, there just was not a lot of opportunities tonight. Hopefully tomorrow's a better day for the boys. Just bad timing with no bats added at the deadline, and then you go up and put up a stinker like this, one run. I mean, against Lance Lynn, look, Lynn is solid. We all saw Lance Lynn pitch for us for a couple of years back during that COVID, you know, era, whatever you want to call it. Lance Lynn is a fastball pitcher. That dude just throws fastballs after fastball. I mean, I don't think Lance Lynn is anything that the Rangers shouldn't have been able to put three or four runs up against, but he had our number today. Lance Lynn, he was great. Five innings, one earned run, three Ks, four base runners in five innings, and then the Cardinals bullpen was lights out. Only gave up one hit over four innings, didn't walk anybody. Anytime you only walk one person like the Cardinals did, Cardinals only walked us one time, you're going to win a lot of ball games doing that. Rangers only had three walks tonight. That's nice, but nevertheless, it was a bad offensive night for the Rangers. Hopefully tomorrow is a new day. Let me go ahead and I'll keep rolling with comments here. I'll keep rolling. Ty, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Okay, I was not here earlier, but how did you feel about Josh Jung tonight? Love the single. That was phenomenal. It's great seeing him come up early in the game, get a base knock. I do think that they are going to move him up in the lineup eventually. I think they're going to let him kind of get back in a groove, kind of keep pressure off of him by batting him a little bit lower. But I think Josh Jung is going to move back up into the top five, especially against lefties. I think anytime you see a lefty, Josh Jung's going to be in the top five. Maybe against righties, they keep hitting him a little bit lower. But I don't think, and I've said this for a long time, y'all, and I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade or be negative. I've always felt like the Rangers were not Josh Jung away, so to speak, being an offensive juggernaut. So I didn't think Josh Jung was going to come back and the Rangers were suddenly going to be this offensive beast. I thought that they were going to get better, but I didn't think Josh Jung solved all their problems. And I do think the Rangers are really counting on that. And I hope that they're right and I'm wrong. But that's why I wanted the Rangers to add a bat. I didn't think that the Rangers were going to be able to just flip a switch once Josh Jung gets back. And now they're the team that's scoring double-digit runs every other game like they were last year in 2023. I hope to be wrong. Hope to be wrong, and maybe Josh Jung catches his stride, gets hot. There's a couple other guys that get hot at the same time, and the Rangers become an offensive juggernaut again. I just would probably bet on no in that scenario. I would bet on they're going to get better, but I don't think this is like a game changer. So I don't know how many Rangers fans are really saying that. I don't think I've seen a ton of that, to be honest with you. I know a lot of people are excited Josh Jung is back. I'm excited he's back. But I don't think that it's going to be life-changing for the Rangers. I think they needed to add another bat in order for me to be able to say, yeah, they got the new bat, controllable bat that they added at the deadline. Josh Jung is back. This is going to all turn around. They really might be unlocking something here. I feel like now that the trade deadline's passed, you didn't add anybody. Josh Jung coming back is nice. But I just don't think it's going to return the Rangers back to the glory of 2023, offensively speaking. Hope to be wrong. Just my take on that. Let me keep on going here. What's up, Texas Rangers fans only? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Great Facebook group. If y'all are looking for a good Rangers community, love Texas Rangers fans only. I'm here now. Hope you answered that question that Bally's is done after this season. I didn't. And I did say I'm not super invested in that whole situation. Obviously, I know surface level stuff, but I hope that the Rangers and MLB in general just figure out a way to make it better for baseball fans and for the casual fan. When you're dealing with all this different streaming nonsense and, you know, happen to watch, you know, or buy five different apps in order to watch these games, that's just not good for the game. I hope that they centralize, make people pay whatever price, and then you allow access to every single game. Living in Vegas, I would be happy to pay $140, $150, and get access to every game, no blackouts. And, you know, if you're a Rangers fan living in DFW, I've said this many times, you should never have to be blacked out of a game. You should be able to watch every game if you're a fan living in the same city as your team or close by. So we'll see what happens with the TV deal. I just hope that they find a way to eliminate them dang blackouts. All right, y'all, let me keep going. Let me check TikTok as well, make sure I didn't miss anybody. I don't think so. By the way, if y'all do have some comments, throw them in. You got a question, you got a topic you want us to address, put it in the comments, put it in the chat, we'll get to it. Hey, right now, let's go through the pitchers. So Bradford went two innings. It was pretty obvious that they wanted to try and save some arms. They were down three runs when Bradford came in. Once he gave up the bomb, I think they just made a business decision. Let's have Bradford throw the rest of this. Let's get Garabito in there and let's just get this game over with. So I feel like they waved the white flag a little bit, leaving Bradford in there after the grand slam. At that point, it's 8-1. I mean, you really can't fault them for doing that. Max Scherzer, though, hopefully the arm fatigue thing will cease to be a thing after a while, but I do have a feeling Scherzer is going to be plagued by injuries probably the rest of his tenure with the Rangers. He'll have a couple of good starts here and there, and then something will flare up. And we're not knocking or hating on the guy. He just turned 40 years old. He's logged a ton of MLB innings. He did help us minimally, whatever, it's debatable, a fair amount, whatever you want to say. I've heard different things from different Rangers fans, but let's just say this. Let's all agree on this. He contributed last year in the postseason. He contributed. How much you think he contributed, that's subjective. But you know what? Max Scherzer contributed to a Rangers World Series, and we'll always be grateful for that. We're not hating on him, not dogging on him. He's getting up there in age for baseball standards. And at this point, he's not a guy that I think we can rely on to go out there and give us seven innings and only give up two or three runs like Evo does for us just about every time out. So Max Scherzer got a little knocked around today. A lot of extra base hits, home run, first pitch of the game. Just wasn't Max's night. And when the Rangers don't get a super quality start from their starting pitcher, it does become harder and harder for them to win the ballgame because they're not a team that routinely comes back and wins games from behind, right? Especially once it starts getting later. Rangers are not the comeback kids. They're just not this year. Rangers need a lead early, and they need to be able to pass it off to the elite bullpen and win a game that way. That is their blueprint for winning. Speaking of bullpen, Rangers added Andrew Chapin, who I think we saw with the Diamondbacks last year. We saw him with Detroit this year. I like the lefties that we've added. We added Pennington, AAA guy, 230-ish ERA down in AAA Omaha in the Royals farm system. Now he comes to us. So I like what the Rangers did pitching-wise. I really do. I think that was a great move to get Chapin. I think that they did well getting Pennington for Lorenzen. So I would say all the trades that I did see CY make, I can't disagree or find a lot of fault in any of them. The only move that kind of struck me as a little bit curious, and I know this is getting into a little bit of Rangers minutia because it's not like this guy is a super big name or a huge, huge contributor or factor in the Rangers' success, but I was surprised that Jonathan Hernandez got DFA'd today. It was surprising to me. Looking at the 40-man roster, I think there are some other pitchers that I probably would have rather DFA'd, and agree or disagree with me, I probably would have rather DFA'd a guy like Owen White over Jonathan Hernandez. I don't think there's any way that Jonathan Hernandez doesn't get picked up by another team. Jonathan Hernandez has filthy stuff. He has a great slider. It's nasty. He struggles to be consistent and with control, but I find it extremely doubtful that another team is not going to pick him up. I do think they should have DFA'd, and I'm going to pull up the 40-man right now. I did it earlier today, but I'm going to be honest with y'all. It's been a long one for me, and I'm just forgetting the other two names that I said I would have rather DFA'd. But Owen White was one of them. I would much rather have held on to Hernandez. Grant Anderson, I would have rather DFA'd Grant Anderson than Jonathan Hernandez. Brock Burke, now that we got all these lefties, I find it kind of incredible that Brock Burke survived. Are we really going to be calling up Brock Burke with all these lefties now? We got Chapin, and we have a player option on Chapin. So Chapin is probably going to be around next year unless he just absolutely soils the bed down the stretch. I imagine we're going to pick up Andrew Chapin for next year. You've got Cody Bradford. I mean, look, the Rangers have lefties. I can't even believe Brock Burke survived. And we cut, or didn't cut, but DFA designate for assignment Jonathan Hernandez instead. I don't know, y'all. I did not love that move. So that is my take on the Jonathan Hernandez DFA. I was actually wondering about this too. Aaron, what's up, by the way, man? Thanks for tuning in. And look, not all Rangers fans I know are super familiar with the 40-man and, you know, all the Rangers minor leaguer guys. So I get it. But Carson Coleman, he's another pitcher. He's on the 60-day IL right now. And you know what? This is another guy. I probably would have rather held on to Jonathan Hernandez over a guy like Cole Winn. I know Cole Winn is kind of high up in the system. I'd rather have Hernandez than Cole Winn. I don't know. I'm not saying that Cole Winn needed to get DFA'd. I just think the Rangers, here's the point. They could have gotten a little bit more creative here. I think Jonathan Hernandez is going to get picked up by another team, and he does have some nasty stuff. Just got to get more consistent. But Owen White, you want Owen White over Hernandez? Okay. I mean, every time Owen White's come into a game, I've seen him just get shelled. It's been pretty rare I've seen Owen White deliver a shutdown performance. Nothing against Owen White personally, but I'm just going off of stats, going off the eye test. It was a curious move to me. Moving on. Let's go to tomorrow's game. So tomorrow's game is actually an early game. Getaway day for the Rangers. They will be off on Thursday before the Red Sox series homestand against the Red Sox and the Astros. Speaking of the Astros, that game did go final. The Astros lose 6-2 to the Pirates in Houston. So it looks like Pirates are getting out of Houston with a series win. I think Houston is going to have a tough time hanging on in this division race. If they can't get completely healthy, they got to get Kyle Tucker back. They got to get Verlander back. If they can't get those two guys back soon enough, I don't see the Astros hanging on. I do think that they're a good team. They do know how to win. They know how to cheat as well, but that's another topic for another day. But the Astros do know how to win. They've got good players. I think we can all acknowledge that. But the Astros, I think just with the injuries, are going to have a tough time. You got the Rangers getting healthy. You've also got the Mariners with their additions. And the Mariners did get a win today over the Red Sox. Final score on that one was, 10-6. So offense coming to life. Mariners scoring 10 runs. There you go. So Mariners take over sole possession of first place in the AL West. And if we look at the standings right now, before we look at the game for tomorrow against the Cardinals, the Rangers are 4.5 games out, 3.5 games behind the Astros for second place. And in the wild card standings, they are 7 games out. So wild card is getting more and more unlikely. Now, let's say they were to really kill it in this Red Sox series. Maybe it gets a little bit more interesting. Let's say the Yankees continue to slide a little bit, although they're on a 4-game winning streak right now. But the Yankees were having some tough times there in the beginning of July. I mean, there are some crazy things that could happen. So I'm not ruling out wild card completely, but I would say it's pretty unlikely at this point. 4.5 games. Look, you got 55 left or 54 left. It's plenty of games to make up 4.5, but you got to be careful. You start getting down to 6.5, 7.5 out, and you really need to start seeing the Mariners, Astros start dropping series back to back to back in order to have a shot. So Rangers, I think, are within good striking distance right now, but they got to be careful. They got to be careful. Let me check out tomorrow. We got Andrew Heaney going. And Sonny Gray, I believe, was going to be pitching tomorrow, but the Cardinals decided to move him back. So they are going to be calling up, believe his last name is McGreevy. And is he making his debut? Let's see what his major league stats are, if he has any. It doesn't look like he has any major league stats, y'all. So I think Michael McGreevy for the Cardinals tomorrow is making his major league debut. So we have a pretty green pitcher out there that we're going up against. Hopefully the Rangers will be able to get to him. So not a lot that we can really go through in terms of a preview or matchups for the Rangers against the opposing pitcher, Michael McGreevy, getting the call up to take over Sonny Gray's normal spot in the rotation. They decided to push Sonny Gray back until the weekend series. So Andrew Heaney will go up against Michael McGreevy, Cardinals pitcher, making his MLB debut. On the other side, against Andrew Heaney, Nolan Arenado did not play today. No Nolan Arenado today, but he is 0 for 7 against Heaney in his career. Carpenter, 0 for 2. Crawford hitting 4 for 9 against Andrew Heaney. Donovan, the left fielder, 0 for 1. Goldschmidt, 0 for 1. Newt Barr, 1 for 2. Tommy Pham, looks like 1 for 8. So the numbers are pretty favorable, and it is a small sample size. And Andrew Heaney has been pitching very, very well of late. I think there's good reason to feel pretty confident that the Rangers should be able to turn out a W in this one. You're going up against a rookie MLB debut pitcher. You've got your dog out there, Andrew Heaney, that's been probably up with Evo as the best Rangers pitcher this season. If it wasn't Evo, it would easily be Andrew Heaney. And I don't think, like, in general, broadly, anybody would take Andrew Heaney over Evo. But I think there might be an argument that Andrew Heaney has had a better season than Evo up to this point. I'd have to look at the stats and everything like that. But Andrew Heaney, let's not worry about record, because record does not always give you the real deal. Andrew Heaney, 3.77 ERA, 107 Ks. Let's see if I can get Evo stats up here just for fun and see where he's at. So Evo this year, ERA is sitting at 3.38 with 106 strikeouts. So Evo, slight nod on the ERA. Looks like Andrew Heaney and him are basically tied, 105 to 106 in strikeouts. Evo, 104 whip. Andrew Heaney, let me check this out. See where he's at. Andrew Heaney has got a whip on the season of 126. So I think Evo can get the nod here pretty definitively. But it's close. It's closer than what you might have thought. Andrew Heaney's had a really, really good year. And if he keeps pitching like this, that man is going to make a pretty penny in the offseason. Sadly, most likely with another team. Would love to have Heen Dog back, but I don't know. This front office, mainly the ones responsible for writing the checks, they don't seem to be wanting to open up the purse strings. So I'll tell you what, I don't feel confident Andrew Heaney is going to be a guy that comes back in the offseason. Don't feel that way. Hope to be wrong, but Andrew Heaney is working himself in 2024 to a very, very nice payday. So Andrew Heaney tomorrow, look for him to have a great game, and hopefully the Rangers will be able to strike early. That is their calling card, strike early, hold the lead late, win a ball game. That's what I'm expecting tomorrow from this team. And as we look at game time for tomorrow, 1:15 Texas time start. So 11:15 out here in Vegas. We'll probably be coming at you guys. I mean, I don't know. I have to think about this one. If I'll get on right after the game, I'll have to look at my schedule, or if I'll wait to get on a little bit later. We'll see. I may try and get on right after the game, depending on the outcome. If not, I'll do something a little bit later on in the evening. So that'll be the plan. Let's check headlines around Major League Baseball, and then we are going to sign off for the night. So I will say this, you know, with the trade deadline, it's always going to be polarizing. Sell, buy, how much to buy, how much to sell. It's hard seeing teams like the Dodgers making all these deals. They added Flaherty today. They added Kiermaier. Look, they added Rosario. They've added a ton of pieces. And then you see the Yankees getting Josh Chisholm. You see the Orioles acquiring a bunch of guys. It's hard when you see some of these really good teams going after it. I do think, as much as we all want to will the Rangers to a playoff berth and to another World Series title, they are in an iffy spot right now. They're in an iffy spot where you can't go all in and risk not making the playoffs and wasting capital. You just can't do that. So at this point, I think the Rangers were in a tough spot. I think they could have added a controllable bat. They chose not to. For whatever reason, money, the ask was too high from other teams. Who knows? But I do think when you're looking, when you're doing that comparison, it can be the greatest killer of joy sometimes. You're seeing the Dodgers making all these moves, Orioles making all these moves. It's hard not to get frustrated as a fan. I do think if I was CY and the owners writing the checks, I would have added another bat. I would have added another bat. But we didn't. I think the Rangers can still be successful this season, even though they did not do that. And I hope that the offense can find a groove and find a little more consistency. not five games winning, five games on, three games off, kind of like what they just did, right? Five-game win streak, get swept. I hope that they can find a little bit more consistency and get off the streaking that they've been doing really the entire season. Let me go ahead and let me keep on going with some comments here, and then we're going to get out of here. So this is on the Cardinals starter for tomorrow. So McGreevy, Triple-A Memphis, 4.45 ERA, 5-7, 2.56 batting average against, 1.34 whip. So basically what my guy Aaron is saying is we should be putting up at least five or six runs tomorrow at minimum. This is a guy making his major league debut. We've got a really aggressive team. I hope that we can put it out early and just coast to a win. I hope we can get up 4-5-0 or just get up 4-5 runs, breathe a little easy, give Heendog the run support, make up for the lack of run support that we gave Heendog or didn't give him all season long. So tomorrow has got to be a W, y'all. If we drop tomorrow, season's not over, but it is a bad loss tomorrow if the Rangers do not get the win. It's a bad loss. Baseball is a tough sport. We talked about this over and over. I mean, anybody can win on any given day, but make no mistake, it is a bad loss if the Rangers drop the game tomorrow against the guy making his major league debut who has nearly a 5 ERA at AAA. Not good. Natalie says, will Langford take over center at some point, or is Carter still going to do that? I don't know. I think they're just going to totally see how it goes. I'm going to check some comments on TikTok as well. I think they're going to see how it goes with Carter. I do think we talked about last night, center field is a much more taxing position than any of the corner outfield spots. So if they're looking to try and save Carter a little bit, if they think he might potentially be injury prone, which I kind of do think at this point, especially back injuries, y'all, back injuries, those don't play. They just don't. And they're hard to totally eradicate. Not impossible, but tough. So I think they're probably going to try and move him to a corner outfield spot. I can't imagine they're going to want that wear and tear. Wyatt so far seems to be, I mean, I know he had the hamstring thing, but by and large, seems to be capable out in center field. It wouldn't shock me if that's the way they go. We'll see. Let me keep going. What's up, Griff? Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for watching. A lot of fans comparing EC to Greer already. That's actually an interesting comp, talking about Rusty Greer. That's, you know, good old 90s, you know, Rangers. Oh, man, old stadium. That brings back a ton of good memories, man. Rusty Greer. Love Rusty. Could be. I think that might be an interesting comp, actually. I just want to see Evan Carter get completely healthy. I hope that they give him an opportunity at some point when he's completely healthy to actually play every day. I do think platooning him didn't lead to the injury, but I think platooning him affected him. I really do. I think they had him playing every day. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. In that September-October stretch, wasn't he basically playing every day? I mean, that was my understanding. September last year, 2023, and into the playoffs, he was playing every day. I do think that Evan Carter needs to be playing every day to be totally unlocked. I do think they're doing him a disservice to platoon him. So I do hope next year when they go totally healthy and get totally healthy with him, I hope that in spring training when they go to Arizona, they let him play every day. And then when the season starts, let him play every day. Adjust his spot in the lineup. Move him down against lefties. Do whatever you need to do. But I think they need to let Evan Carter play outfield every day, roam around out there, have a nice long runway. I think when you're platooning guys this young who are your top prospects, I do think it affects some of them mentally, throws them off, throws off their game. And when I say affects them mentally, I'm not talking about, you know, they're boo-hooing in the dugout. I'm talking about baseball players are creatures of habit. Most of them are. So when you're taking a guy that's been very successful in the minors, playing every single day, playing outfield every single day, playing against lefties and righties, and then you're bringing them up to the majors and you're having them do something different than that, having them do something different than what got them to that point, there is a risk with that. It's not impossible to still get production when you do that change and make that change. But Evan Carter played every day down in AAA, and he played against lefties and righties, and he played center field. So I do think when you move him up to the majors, start platooning him, move him to a corner outfield spot, which he did play a little bit in the majors too, but you know what I mean? I think it messes a little bit with the overall game. Could be wrong, but that is my take on Evan Carter. All right, y'all. Let me go through a little bit more comments on TikTok. Yeah, Carter's not coming back this year. What's up, my guy, by the way? Thanks for tuning in. Who's pitching tomorrow? Andrew Heaney and McGreevy for the Cardinals, making his MLB debut. Looks like that's it. All right, guys. If you don't have anything else for me, we're going to go ahead and take off for the night. So tomorrow we'll be back at you, maybe right after the game, potentially a little later in the evening, depending on my schedule. We're going to get it done one way or another. Hope you can tune in. One thing, y'all know, I'm consistent. Win or loss, it's not always easy with these losses, though. Oh, this was a disappointing one, too, just right after the trade deadline and the win yesterday. I don't know. This one hit me a little bit different, but you know what? Time heals everything. Get a good night's sleep. Come back tomorrow. Ready for a new day, ready for a Rangers win. One thing I wanted to ask y'all, which I already mentioned at the beginning of all this, if you're not following the channel yet, you're not subscribed to the account, please, I would appreciate it if you would hit that follow or subscribe button. Stay up to date every time we go live. Keep up with all our latest and greatest content. If you know somebody that loves the Rangers or loves baseball, please share one of my videos with them. Tell them about the account. Tell them about what I'm doing. I know that there's some good people out there that would probably love to talk Rangers baseball. Let's keep growing this good group of people we got post-game right now, rain or shine, talking ball. I love it. It's why I started this. So I'm grateful for your support. Thank you so much. And hope y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday night. Hopefully tomorrow's a better day for the Rangers. Hope y'all have a good Wednesday as well. If I don't see you tomorrow on the live, hopefully you can catch it on the replay, or I'll see you maybe sometime later on in the week. Off day on Thursday, but the Rangers will be back for a big series in Arlington with the Red Sox. Good stuff coming up. Y'all have a good night. It's fun hanging out. See y'all. And as I always say, God bless. Go Rangers. Bye now.